Welcome back to another episode of the Skits and Giggles podcast. For this one, Bryson and I sit down exactly how we imagined it in the early days of the podcast. Just two good buddies sitting down for a chat around a bunch of microphones, chatting bikes, and things that could be. After almost 4 years and over 80 episodes, we could finally make it happen. In our chat, we relive the best ride of the year in tune with all the ups and downs and the many impressions of the day. But more importantly, we reflect on our process, the learnings from the event, and the improvements we can make towards an even better ride of the year in 2025. As we mentioned in the recording, Darren Mays, the Trail Tracker, has just released a set of videos from the day on his YouTube channel. Make sure to check those out to get some impressions of the day. You can find the links to the videos, as well as all the other information about this episode and the Skits and Giggles podcast, in the description of this very episode. Do you have any good ideas for an even better ride of the year 2025? Why don't you let us know in the comments to this episode, or just shoot us a DM on Instagram under @skitsandgiggles. That's it, that's all, Skigglers. Talk to you the next time.
A wave of excitement has come over me.
That's very good. Why is that wave coming over you?
Because there's a je ne sais quoi in the building.
There's a je ne sais quoi. This is
over my dinner table.
The third time this year that we meet physically. Second time we actually recorded.
Welcome to Bern.
Thank you for having us in your beautiful home here in Bern.
Thank you. I built it myself.
We just relived the experience of the best ride of the year, Darren Mays, Trail Tracker Switzerland. He just put out the first video of the day.
Banger.
How does it feel to look back on it?
I saw myself on YouTube. Sick. Super cool. I'm so glad and grateful that he recorded something. As we were discussing, it's just a great memento to have something recorded, something to say, hey, that's me. Look back on it. And I mean, right now, just sitting here looking back on it, having a chat together face to face, more new experiences, more good times.
And new people, new friends. You know, people that have been sitting on the other side of the microphone that we've never got to see. It was nice to put a face to those names and Instagram messages and comments and some of the other things. And I think that was really, really cool for us to, you know, to be there and share those moments with, you know, with that group of people.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Maybe what we want to do today is not only relive the experience, because we are pretty fortunate that everything turned out the way we envisaged it back in the dark winter earlier this year. I think what we really want to do is to kind of highlight some of our thinking that we put into the day and how it turned out, and maybe what we would do differently for a next best ride of the year, or maybe a better ride of the year. So Bryson, what, you know, maybe just line out a little bit, what was the thinking when we started with this best ride of the year project?
For me, the kind of the theme of this season is community, or at least understanding our listenership, or our audience, or interacting with them. That would be actually, that's the goal. That's the highlight. And we set out to achieve that. And we did achieve that. And that came out in best ride of the year. It was sort of this, hey, let's have an idea and develop it into something for this season. We did try to have a ride out, or like what I called it, an alumni ride. On the first season, we invited former guests and friends, of course, and we had a mixed day. I'll leave it at that. And we wanted to basically expand on that, make it more impactful, make it more just something that's for us, as in me and you, but also for our listeners, to connect and yeah, just have a sense of community. So let me throw it back over to you, actually. What, help me out here. Build on what I've, with the momentum that I've just rolled up.
Yeah, I think in the original episode when we kind of described the project, we said we were setting out to build a bridge between the virtual and the real world experience of riding a bike and having a great time with your friends. And yeah, I think that's what we achieved. It was a good group, a good mix of friends, of former guests, of listeners that we have never seen before, never met before. And it was just great to know that at this day in the year that we marked ourselves in the calendar, you know, almost 20 people showed up and it did turn out as a really great day. And that is exactly, I think, what we tried to achieve. And in that sense, I would say mission accomplished. I think what most people that were following the project more closely, they realized obviously we had quite a structured approach to organizing the event and kind of figuring out how we wanted to do. If you think back how we designed the survey, because we did do a survey at the beginning of the year to kind of figure out who's coming, where they're coming from, what do they like to ride, how much can they ride. Can you tell me a little bit about, or the listeners, you know, about the survey idea?
Yeah, probably the big thing we passed back and forth was we don't want to overthink it. So we basically just sent quite a simple form out to, we posted on the channel and let people know in one of the pods, hey, we're going to organize a ride. If you'd like to take part, or you'd like to let us know what you think would encompass the best ride for you, let us know in this survey, and as well as answer some of the questions that we need to kind of like gather the consensus of what a great ride should have in it. And we basically compiled all that, and I think the term I would use is middle ground. We didn't want to pick the highest points or the lowest points, but somewhere in between. And then also somewhere in between is where quite a few people also commented. And so, yeah, we met the medium or the middle. We also had some funny comments.
Of course, we did put in, the fun question of your best cramp prevention techniques, and there was some highlights in those as well.
My favorite was from Yeti, so thank you, Yeti. The synopsis is: forget the pre-cramp, just get it over with, and go full cramp mode. So
exactly, commit to the cramp.
Yeah, I tried. In the old Bryson fashion, I gave it the good old college try, but didn't make it all the way. But actually, I have a little bit of a Roger to thank for that. He kind of coached me out and let me calm down a little bit, let me take a breather before heading the last section of trail. So actually, it was really close. I cut it real close. It was almost at the end, so the timing was pretty good, but yeah.
But yeah, I think maybe we should also relive the day a little bit. I mean, for the listener that doesn't watch YouTube videos or, doesn't follow any of the socials or whatever, right? So there are people out there that just listen to us. So maybe we should put into words how our days were. So why don't you take it? Start it. Start this reliving experience.
Yeah. Woke up at a decent time. Former guest Reto Ebescher picked me up on his way from Fribourg. We arrived at Thun, early enough, had a banana, had some very nice coffee from Josh at Sensory Cup. He's kind enough to bring a couple samples of some of the stuff that he's got going on, and everyone had a cup. It was really cool tasting before the event to kind of get like an icebreaker going, talking a little bit about coffee and having a little cup of joe to chat over, get to know people that we never met, and also all the other riders got to mingle. So that was really cool, little micro scene going on before we had like a little group chat. You basically laid down the law, let them know that this isn't a Tour de Nord. Whether or not that surfaced or not, I'm not sure. But yeah, also it wasn't a race, but it was definitely a good time. And yeah, for me, I made sure I was prepared. I drank lots of water the day before.
Yeah, you did have a bit of a bumpy ride leading up to the best ride of the year.
Yeah. Early in the year, I broke my ankle. So actually, that was the first thing on my mind when I broke the ankle. I was like, oh my God, am I not screwing myself over for this? Because I've never broken anything before, and I don't know how long it takes to deal with all that stuff. And then, as luck has it, I encountered a fever exactly 1 week before. So I was also trying to mend all that, and I got some great advice from Pascal, and thought back to all the other things that you know, we talked about on the pod and with other guests about how to stay healthy and aid recovery, and I was able to pull through. And actually, I felt dynamite on Saturday, so Sunday was full game. Bike was prepped, body was prepped as can be, soul was, you know, skyrocketing. So I was just really, really excited to go on this ride. Finally get to like shred with Pascal again. More on that later. We weren't actually in the same group. but it was good to like meet up and, you know, high fives and smiles. So yeah, but how was the day for you?
Oh yeah, pretty similar. I mean, it was relatively cruisy leading up to it. There was obviously a couple of emotional moments in the organization of such an event, but the day actually went pretty smoothly. You know, drove in from around Zurich, picked up Stefan from Scar Cycles on the way, drove to Thun, had a nice sensory cup of coffee from Josh. And then got ready to go. We had a bit of a hiccup at the beginning with a shuttle driver who decided that he only had to show up later. So there was a bit of organizing on the spot. But you know, as you mentioned, the group was coherent enough already at that stage that we all just pulled together. And you know, I took my bus, loaded it up full of people, and there was two or three other cars loaded up. And the end of the day, all of us got up to the top, to the shuttle spot, and you know, it worked out fine in the end. The trails were, you know, I had a lot of fun. It was quite enjoyable. We'll get back to the trails probably a bit later. Of course, we have to date this. It's July 24. This has been one of the wettest springs and early summers in a long time. The trails were very, very wet, so it hadn't rained in maybe 18 hours or so. It was a sunny day, so we were actually quite lucky, but it was still, obviously, everything was pretty wet. And so yeah, so that added a bit of extra spice to the day. Fantastic lunch spot picked by Yannick right on the lake in Thun. You know, next shuttle straight back up, another round of really cool trails. And then in the end, we all met up at back at the parking lot to share the laughs and high fives and have a couple of drinks. And you know, unfortunately, we passed around a tummy bug in the family in the couple of days leading up to the day. So I was worried about my own fortunes the next couple of hours and getting home rather than enjoying the high five. So, but I think it's a sign of what we achieved and what we created on that day that most people didn't even realize, that I was more worried about, you know, throwing up all over the parking lot or whatever.
I can't speak for you because you did have quite a low there. But for myself, definitely best ride of the year. And I would be almost certain for some of the people who came with us as well. Like there was just a lot of, of course there's, you know, challenges in these kinds of things, which you may look in maybe a negative light, but also you can look in a positive light when you have the right atmosphere and the people around you. And I think that was the case for us, especially in my group. The trails were challenging, but in a way that like kind of helped us bond, or like, you know, we kind of pulled together, or we would kind of, you know, do like a back and forth. And in the end, we all felt really good.
All right. I guess that's enough for to relive the day in that sense. I think people can look up Trail Tracker Switzerland on YouTube and follow the action in actual video format, because both Bryce and I have not been very, very good at capturing the moments on our phones or on a camera. So there's not much documentation of the actual happenings of the day. But I think what we want to wrap up with is kind of a more of a forward-looking, keeping track of the things we maybe would do better, differently for next year, because I think we both agree that we want to do an even better ride of the year in 2025. So Bryson, so what are some of the things that you would do differently next year? Or maybe let's take a step back. You know, think back to the survey. What were the things we asked about? How did they help us make decisions? Which decisions did we do? And yeah, how will we do it differently next year?
One of the most important questions was how much do you ride, for how long, what kind of elevation you want, and what kind of trails would you prefer to ride? Basically, it's centered around this. Like, that was like really, I think, the factor that really set the tone for the whole day. And I think we did, as I said, a really good job of finding the middle. But looking back, maybe my perception of what the middle is also comes into account.
Very good point.
Yeah.
How do you mean that, maybe, for the listener that is not looking in your face right now?
So one thing I did do is I asked Josh and his wife, Sarah, if they wanted to attend. And Sarah asked me, well, you know, what kind of ride is it? And I said to her, you know, it's kind of an enduro, and, you know, we don't have exactly the exact route planned and like a very solid plan yet, but let me like take a second to think and find a way to let you understand what kind of ride it would be. So I contacted Yannick and I said, hey, I have someone I want to invite, but I'm not sure on their ability. So can you tell me a little bit about what the ride would be, or maybe what are some similar trails? Because one aspect is getting this group together and going on a ride. Another aspect is showing these people that we don't know maybe something that they don't know, and kind of giving that experience. But what he did was he gave me some GPX tracks and I forwarded them to Josh and Sarah, and they went to Toon, I think the next day or the day after. They tried them out and the feedback was, okay, well, Josh will come, but Sarah isn't sure. In the end, she didn't attend, and that's okay. Everyone has a different comfort level, and perhaps that's actually part of the feedback that we can take in for a better, even better, best ride of the year.
Betterer.
And that's one example of something that we could look to improve on for a following edition, is finding that balance of understanding not only of what we did, finding that, or having an understanding of what kind of trails and what kind of difficulties and what kind of abilities that our group will have, or groups, but also taking it that other step of trying to match the trails using maybe a method similar to what I did, where either these people will see maybe a YouTube or a GoPro footage of the trail, maybe telling them in a better description about what the trail is like. For example, drawing similarities with maybe a popular trail that they have likely ridden or maybe have good access to, depending on their region. And then it sort of gives them this impression, a better impression of what the ride will be like without kind of destroying the surprise of this, you know. I mean, like I said, it's not a tour de Nar. It's not taking them to places, pushing them outside their comfort zone is not the goal, but definitely to provide a kind of like this unique experience. A part of that adventure is also an unknown element. And yes, there are quite a bit of unknown elements for our guests that day. For example, that's not their normal riding buddies. They've never met us. I mean, some of them. And maybe it's a region that they've never ridden in. And maybe it's also a difficulty level one higher, let's say, than what they normally ride or what they have ever ridden. So there's a lot of variables.
Mm. Yeah, I thought that was very hard to judge up front. Because of course, yes, as you said, right, there's a core group of friends that we ride with a lot and, you know, that are kind of subscribing to the same insanities of trail riding. But there's also a large element of you just don't know. And I think the point we want to make is that we were fortunate and lucky and grateful that the day turned out the way it did. But this could have also gone completely differently in terms of, you know, it was very wet. You know, some trails were probably on the hairier side for some of the riders. And, you know, because of the environment that we created, it turned out okay, I think. But, you know, that was one slide out away from something not being too great. I think we also have or want to point out at this stage that we are very grateful for the help of Yannick. I pulled in one of my guiding friends to help with actually executing on the day. So he, under his moniker of No Bad Trails, works in the region of Thun as a guide and organizes these kind of enduro tours in the area. And I leaned on him to help with organizing the shuttles and you know, selecting the routes and selecting the trails and lunch spots and all the finer details that the two of us don't really have. So, and, you know, also admitting fully that in the week leading up to the day, I did have conversations with Yannick and Roger, the second guide, on the day about, you know, exactly what is going to happen on that weekend and how, you know, how competent are the riders and what is the weather like, what are the conditions like on the ground, etc. So I think maybe for the better ride of the year, the even better ride of the year next year, we have to find a way to better also communicate what kind of we have in store and what is expecting the riders. And I think we have to also find a way to better be able to judge the ridership that's incoming, even the ones that we don't know. So I think that is one of the key learnings. What other learning do you have?
I think it could have been a little bit more fun.
Even more.
Even though it was the best ride of the year, there's always, you know, the opportunity to be the bestester ride of the year.
Bestester.
Yeah. I had the idea not too long ago that...
After the fact.
Yeah,
Say it as it is. It was after the fact.
Yeah. We've been discussing this, and like one of the things was like popped into my mind, oh man, I could have had like a skid contest. So, I mean... We could have had a skid contest, all of us, whether it be in a parking lot or on a trail. Of course, we'd have to, like, you know, do some mending, but I think that would be really fun. Yeah. And also contribute to the photo op and the whole video or photo story of the whole day. The photo part is a great memento. And this is something that Pascal reminded me of. It's actually... I like your story about this. So tell me, what does it mean to you to have these picture mementos from all these like races and events that you go to? I've seen them pinned up on the white, like the cork and whiteboard in your house. So like, I know you look back on these times.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's I think it's a nice notion to have, you know, an event like that, be it a race, be it a ride, be it a party, a wedding, or whatever it is, right? And then, you know, a day or two later, you get pinged in your inbox with a reminder of like, hey, would you like to see some cool shots from that great experience that you had? And then, you know, of course, there's business behind that. But I do like these, as you say, mementos, hopefully a cool shot. And I think that would have been one thing in terms of the execution that maybe next time we should think about is actually having, you know, a dedicated media person with us that, you know, takes the right photos with the right equipment in the right spots and maybe takes a couple of videos. And then we can provide that to the guests as a package of like, hey, look, you know, you don't need to deal with your phone and you can just enjoy the day or deal with your camera as it may be. And you get this media package, let's say, that you can use for your socials and, for, you know, your me wall at home to provide that and, you know, therefore free up the enjoyment of the day, right? But yeah, I guess, you know, that's one thing we can take away from this year. I mean, there are people taking photos with their cameras. I think Stefan had a camera with him. Of course, Darren, also very grateful for him to make the videos. I know it's a lot of work to put these videos together, and he puts a lot of effort and dedication into his YouTube channel, and again, as I say, we're very grateful that he did take the time to not only make one but actually two videos of the entire day. And you know, that's really, really cool. I mean, we didn't ask him to do that.
Yeah, big fan.
Is there anything else you think about if we talk about the better ride next year? Over dinner we talked about the location. I mean, of course, the location is a key derivative of our survey approach, and that we knew where the people were coming and traveling from for the day. The, you know, let's say multiple optima that there are in this big equation of creating a cool riding day is of course also kind of being mindful of how far people have to travel and how long does it take them to get back on a Sunday afternoon, so they're home at a reasonable time. So yes, and Thun was a great location because it was pretty central. It's relatively easy for everyone to get to. It also provided, you know, that balance you mentioned before, right? Of it's a novelty in that sense that not many people have ridden there before. It's not very known for their backcountry trails. Bern overall is not very known for mountain biking outside of, you know, probably the core group. But I guess that's also the challenge for next year, is to find a similar location. What do you think?
We might have hit the gold. The jackpot, jackpot, that's the word. I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't move. I'll be the devil's advocate here. It was a mighty fine day.
It was a mighty fine day, but you know, I think there are obviously other destinations where we can hopefully pull off something similar. You know, if you have a suggestion, put it in the comments. But yeah, so that's of course one of the key things the survey helped us with, right? Bryson mentioned the kind of trails and the amount of riding that you like doing in a day, or that you think you can pull off in a day. The other details that we asked about in the survey helped us then kind of optimize along the lines of like how far people have to travel, can they carpool, can they take public transport, and all these kind of things. So yeah, I think the challenge is going to be to find an equally, if not a better, equally good or even a better location next year.
Yeah. I think too much. If I were to overthink this, actually, to optimize it just to, you know, that marginal gain, I guess, it would be to add a second location at an actually different event. So like two best rides of the year and they'll be pitted against each other in the ring. No, it's perhaps you know, having to, I mean, if I can overthink for 30 seconds, having two locations announce two best rides of the year, then people can either attend both, or if they say, oh, well, this one's closer to me, so I'm going to go to that one, or rider B will say, that one's closer to me, so I'm going to go to that one, the other one. I mean, maybe that's the only way to optimize even further. I feel like we did a darn good job finding that middle ground for what we did. I am going to be really impressed when we top this year's. But for sure, we can definitely overthink a little bit more.
I mean, oh, for sure.
But maybe that's the one key takeaway.
Exactly. Don't overthink it. I know we both are very, very famous for falling prey to that bug of overthinking things. At the end of the day, it's riding a bike and riding a bike with your friends. And that's generally a pretty simple pleasure. And it doesn't take too many things to, you know, you called it bake a cake of a cool day. And I think we understood what we tried to do. I think that's always important, that you have the vision of what you want to do. And I think we asked the questions to help steer the right decisions. And yeah, and the rest is more, probably a bit more luck than judgment, certainly when it comes to the weather and a couple of other things. But yeah, generally it's a pretty simple recipe, I think.
Yeah. 50% luck.
At least. All right. I guess that's it, what we have to say about an even better ride of the year. Bryson, is there anything else you wanted to add?
Simply to express my gratitude. Thank you for everyone who joined us. Thank you to Yannick and Roger, as well as Roger's father, who helped shuttle some of the cars. Yeah. A real hero, a local hero. And in terms of the day and the feelings afterwards, I feel like this is a sort of like, you know, our goal for the year was, just to bring this full circle, the goal for the year was sort of be more community driven, more connecting with our listeners, and we achieved that. I'm very proud of that. And as we've touched on, we'll take some steps to hit it a little harder next time. But in reality, I'm super grateful that it is what it is and we achieve what we did. It is a little slice of community for the listeners and Pascal and I. And I think having that connection is really cool and very powerful. So kudos to all.
Well, thank you for that. And I think with that, we leave it for today. I think it's also a premiere. It's in over 80 episodes. The first time that Bryson and I record just the two of us at a dinner table, just the microphones and the little recorder thingy. And there is a special vibe to an in-person recording. Verified. And I really, really, really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
All right. Until next time, Skigglers. If you missed out on any of the action from the day, then, you know, check out Trail Tracker on his YouTube channel. Have a look at our Instagram. We think we did collect a couple of photos of other people because we didn't take our own. We put those up there for a couple of impressions. And again, we're very grateful for what we could experience on that day. And we look forward to doing it again next year. Until next time, guys.
Adios.
Thanks for listening. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. Why don't you let us know what you think? We really like to hear from our listeners. To find out how to get in touch with us, follow the links to our website in the description or find us on Instagram under @skitsandgiggles. Until next time, Skigglers.